Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Well, welcome back to the Gospel Rain Podcast. Matt, it's great to be back in front of the mic with you, my man.
Yeah, it is fun. I'm glad we're back. It's been a long time.
It's been too long, actually.
But, hey, you know, we're busy, and
yeah.
We can't help it. So we have to get back together sometime, though.
What's it been, like 2 months, 2-3 months maybe? I don't know if it's been that long, but it sure feels like that long.
It does feel like that long, and probably close to that long, yes, since we've been able to, and almost that long since we've been able to really sit down together and talk. I mean,
yeah.
We hadn't even been around each other much. So.
Yeah, it's funny. We live and minister about 30 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've seen each other maybe 3 times in the last 2 or 3 months. So,
that's about right.
You know, life is busy, as you said. You know, we have children and children that are growing. And they're taking on more activities and opportunities. Of course, now you have a college student.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a lot of fun. But, boy, as a dad who's trying to stay connected into the lives of the kids, you know, to do that well means we're gonna take on some other things. And then church ministry has been really busy and fruitful, I think, for both of us. We're going to share a little bit about that in this episode.
Yeah.
But we just want to say to our listeners, thanks for being patient with us. Many of you have asked us, hey, when are you guys going to jump back in the saddle? And so here we are. And our hope is that we kind of get back to some normalcy in producing some things for y'all to think about. And even, you know, coming down the pipe, you know, stuff like wrestling with some Old Testament theology, wrestling with some theological. I mean, that's kind of the heartbeat of this podcast, is that to renew the vision that we wanted to be able to talk about some things that might come out of our preaching, things that we're walking through in the text that we don't have time to necessarily deal with in depth.
That's right.
From the pulpit, but we want to, you know, spend some time. So we've got a handful of things that we'd like to jump into, and definitely will be interesting. Some of it will be, I don't know, maybe controversial. Who knows? But that makes life fun.
Well, you know, over the last couple of months, it's been really interesting that we have not gotten into the fray that a lot of people have gotten into with podcasts and all that kind of stuff, with political stuff. Man, if you listen to a podcast at all lately, just in our politics in America right now, woo, son. So I'm sort of glad we've stayed out of all that.
Yeah,
we try to anyway stay out of. We have other things to talk about. That's not our greatest interest. But anyway, it's been really interesting lately. So we've had a lot of things to be thinking about too. And those things apply to us as pastors too, because we have to speak to a lot of those things for our people. They want to know what these things mean.
That's exactly right. We could have done a whole number of things on the whole Kavanaugh, episode and stuff, and I don't know, we might jump into some of that. Our first and only episode probably would have been like one word episode, beer. Because if you watched his defense, that son of a gun, man, he said that word
it's like
500 times.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, okay, this man loves beer.
Yeah, it's clear.
Very clear.
Beer.
Anyway.
And too clear, actually. And a lesson for anybody and everybody.
100%.
Just stay away from beer.
100%,
right?
Man. I told my kids, look, man, this happened 30-something years ago, and he's sitting here talking
exactly
about drinking
right.
a beer at a party. So
that's right.
Yeah, big deal on that. But I think with our time today, this just kind of be a free-flowing episode. I think it'd be interesting, you know, let's just talk a little bit about, if you want to, Matt, talk a little bit about, you know, kind of some of the things that we're preaching through.
Yeah.
I know I've taken on some new preaching series and would love to share a little bit about those.
Yeah.
And I know you have as well, and maybe some of the fruit of that. And then we'll tie up the episode here in just a few minutes with one more thing that's happened in our lives. So kick us off, man. What you got going on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, Sunday mornings right now I'm preaching through Ephesians, which has been really fun. And I have to say, and I don't know how I've done this, but I've gone 20 years, really, of ministry without ever preaching through the book of Ephesians.
I don't know
how you do that.
I haven't.
And you haven't done it either.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's such a great book, such a rich letter. Mm-hmm. And I haven't spent a lot of time. Now, I've preached some sermons in Ephesians, obviously,
right,
here
right.
and there. but never a series all the way through, basically verse by verse.
Right.
So I've been doing that for the last several months, and I'm getting closer to the end. I'm in chapter 5. There's 6 chapters, and I'm into the practical part of the book right now, which is really, really good. It's very rich. I love the way that Paul divides up that letter, the first half, which he does with some of his other letters. The first half of it is really theological in nature,
right.
What we believe. And then the last half is more practical in nature, how we behave. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of talks about how our confession molds our character. And when you put the two together, you get what we confess about Christ and God and what he's done for us, and then how that shapes our character in the last part of the book. So it's been really, really helpful. It really has to read it that way and know that that's what is happening. So I've had a lot of fun preaching through that that book this last week. As a matter of fact, it was in Ephesians chapter 5, and he gets real practical. I mean, right where the rubber meets the road, he's talking about avoiding sexual immorality. He talks about avoiding, which, by the way, there are several words that are used for that, sexual immorality, in Ephesians and in Colossians, some other books, and those words all sort of together, sort of stand for that word that we used to call fornication. Most people don't use that word anymore,
right.
Fornication, but it's a word that means all kinds of sexual sin. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he says avoid that, and avoid, even in one of the verses that we read last Sunday, avoid obscene talking and crude joking, mm-hmm. obscene language. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's rubber meeting the road. That's real practical, where it hits people where they are at work and with their friendships and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, I've had a lot of fun in a book of Ephesians. It's been real convicting, and for myself too. And a lot of people will say, well, man, I had to wear my steel-toed boots this morning because you stepped on my toes. And I get that, but I hope people understand that we get the same conviction during the week.
Yeah.
When we're studying for that sermon, it is God speaking to us first. Hopefully that's what a pastor is experiencing. Hopefully he's not just getting a sermon, but that he's allowing God to speak to him through that passage first, and then he delivers it. So anyway, we get the same conviction from the Lord. But Ephesians is where I am right now on Sunday morning, and that'll last for several more weeks, and then we'll transition to something else. So what are you doing right now on Sunday morning?
Well, I was going to say, man, I love that confession and character. I think that's, man, that's really rich. And I'm kind of like you. I've not done a consecutive exposition through that. I've preached all of chapter 2 in a series on the gospel. I've chapter 5 in marriage, and then a little bit of spiritual warfare in chapter 6 with the armor of God.
Yeah.
But I like that, man. And I just wonder, of course, this may be a future episode for us too, is that, you know, chapter 1 is a thorny kind of thing, you know, because he's raising issues of predestination and choosing stuff like that. And I think, you know, I think a pastor has to evaluate, am I going to jump into this right here? You know, because Paul does, you know, I think, as you probably have taught your people, it lays kind of the rebar of the foundation for gospel and for practical character living and stuff. So,
that's exactly,
man,
right.
Kudos for taking it on. For me, man, I'm Sunday mornings, I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and I've not done a consecutive exposition through a gospel. And so I tackled Mark primarily because it's the shortest gospel, and also because convictionally, I think that Mark was the first gospel written.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's not a hill on which to die.
Yeah. I think where I am, I think I agree with you.
Yeah. It's called Markan Priority. Which is, for the most of the church following Augustine, they believe that Matthew was the first gospel written. But gospel studies over the last 150 years have really began to narrow onto either the idea of this source material called Q that all the gospels are pulling from, or that Matthew and Luke are pulling from Mark. Which I'm kind of convinced that's the likelihood.
Let me ask you a question. As you're preaching through Mark, did you get into that at all with introductory stuff?
A little bit.
Did you?
Yeah, a little bit. And I just it was more like, this is kind of where I'm coming from. I didn't try to make this big crazy case.
Yeah,
But actually, really, what I spent more time trying to make a case for was that Mark was a disciple of Peter, and his gospel is to recount the preaching and the ministry of Peter in a gospel. And so there, that's, you know, commentators make a big deal about that. And it's not the gospel of Peter, it's the gospel of Mark, but Mark is connected to Peter. We understand that from the last chapters of Peter's epistles and calls him my son. And then we understand from church history the connection there's too. So, and there is a gospel of Peter that is non-canonical, which means it, it's part of the Gnostic gospels
right.
that were unearthed in Egypt. And they were around in those days. Those documents were around in those days, and the church understood that they weren't inspired, and so it didn't make it. But you know, so I'm in chapter one. I've been in chapter one for 2 months,
and
I'm on my eighth or ninth sermon.
Are you going to make it through?
I don't know, man.
The rest of the book.
I told him. I said, "Buckle up. We'll probably be in this for a year. So who knows?"
It sounds like it.
But I've you know, it's awesome. Mark is a real punchy writer. So he in the I believe in the first chapter he's hitting these very brief, punchy themes that he's going to unpack for the rest of the gospel.
I
so,
got you. Okay.
You know, the baptism of Jesus, temptation, the calling of his disciples, his authority, his power, his compassion, those kinds of things. And so I'm taking a little snail's pace through chapter one, but then it's going to stretch out in the weeks to come. So, but man, it's been rich just to get back into the gospel.
That's good.
You know, who is Jesus? What's he doing? You know, it's been fun.
Years ago, I spent some time in the Gospel of Mark. It's an odd thing. As a matter of fact, it's before I came to Boonville, where I live now. When we were praying about leaving Zachary, Louisiana, around the Baton Rouge area, we were praying about that and felt like God may be moving us, but we didn't know exactly what to do or where to go, and had a couple of churches that were calling me, and I was so anxious about it. I didn't know what to do and didn't know how to even pray. And so I just decided I was going to get away for a weekend. And so I got me a little cabin somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And I got off for about 2-3 days. And that's all I did was read the Gospel of Mark and just praying for direction. And it's odd. It really is. And I can't tell the whole story now. And maybe I should go back and tell the whole story later on another podcast, because it's really interesting how God led me. But I spent a lot of time in the Gospel of Mark. And just, man, I was praying through it, writing, taking notes. Man, I was just listening. I was sort of fasting for that weekend. And as I was praying, man, I'm telling you, and God really answered in a really weird way. God answered our prayer through all that. And I'll explain all that at another time. But anyway, I spent some time in the Gospel of Mark doing that. And I found out real quickly that the answer I was looking for, what church to go to and where, was not in the Gospel of
right.
Mark.
Right.
But right. The Lord used that time. The Lord really used that time to give me some insight as to what I was supposed to be doing, and so it was really cool. It was a neat time to read the Gospel of Mark. So,
that's awesome, man.
Anyway, so what are you doing now on Sunday nights? Y'all have worship service on
we
Sunday
do.
Night, but you didn't in the summer.
That's right.
Right. So you took
that's right.
You take a hiatus in the summer.
Yeah, you know, you and I both are somewhat of a rare breed now. In contemporary ministry, that we preach three unique messages, three
yeah.
unique services.
Yeah,
a lot of churches in my area, probably yours too, don't have a Sunday night service. We
right.
do. We've chosen in the summer. We noticed just kind of we noticed that in the summer everything dips.
Yeah,
and it was a tough haul. And I just went to my deacons and said, guys, look, for me, I think it's better spent, you know, spending time with family
yeah.
and taking people out to dinner and stuff like that. So the last couple of years, it's been really rich. And so actually this year we had June, July, and August off and renewed in September on Sunday nights. But I jumped into a series that has always intrigued me, and it's much less kind of a formal thing than what I'm doing in the Gospel of Mark, but I'm preaching through the one another's in the New Testament.
Hmm.
And so far, and I'm bringing my ministerial staff in with me, so they're going to preach in this series along
with
me.
That's a good idea.
But we looked at love one another, serve one another, and last night spoke on carry one another's burdens.
Mm.
But you know, it's interesting how we did love one another, because it is the dominant theme in the New Testament when we talk about one another's, that there's a perspective from John, there's a perspective from Peter, and there's a perspective from Paul. And I kind of pitched it as this is a chord of three notes, and it harmonizes with these guys and what they're saying, because they obviously got this from the teaching of Jesus, but the way they apply it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and the way they talk I about like it, that. Man, it was awesome. So I did John. My student pastor did Paul. I can't believe I gave him Paul, but
I'm
I did.
I'm telling you, man.
He rocked it, man. It was
That's awesome.
And then I did Peter. And then it's been fascinating to see how from that foundation of loving one another that, for example, Paul says in Galatians 5, serve one another through love. And then later he applies the serving one another to carrying one another's burdens. And so it's just neat to see how these one another's are not necessarily standalone ideas, but they fit together as the body of Christ is trying to.
So let me ask you a question as a preacher then, because I'm just curious. Because I'm curious how guys do this. But how did you come up with that? Were you reading something? Came up with a series on one another's? How did you? What?
Yeah, I have a cousin who's a pastor, and years ago I heard him teach in a Sunday school class through the one another's, and he was fired up about the one another's of Scripture, and I was like, man, that's kind of unique, you know, and it just kind of, you know, a seed dropped in the back of my mind, and then, because I wanted to have something, and it has turned out to be a little more teachy than I intended, but I wanted something a little more informal on Sunday nights, but real practically focused on, you know, what does it mean to really be the church gathered and to be brothers and sisters and how we're to manage each other's lives together in community. Mm. Now, that what better way to do that than the one another's?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. I like that idea. I'm always looking for, you know, everybody is. I guess every preacher is always looking for something, you know, new because we're you know, like you said, we're in that we're in that routine of three sermons a week, and so you got to come up with ideas. If you're not preaching through books every time,
right?
You got, and so I do that a lot. I'll preach through a book, and then I'll take a break from a book, and then teach something that may be a little bit more thematic,
yes,
or something I found in reading. Go through something that a book has helped me with, and then I'll get back into another biblical book, maybe.
Right.
So I'm bouncing around that way sometimes. I just find that helpful for me and refreshing for me. So I'm always looking for ideas.
Well,
how
you
guys
and I
do that.
You and I are committed to preaching and teaching through books of the Bible.
Right.
Just philosophically in ministry, and we believe that this is going to feed the church, and it does.
Yeah.
Now, I came through seminary and began to understand what is expositional preaching, what is expository preaching, that you can do expository preaching without verse by verse walking through a book over a length of time.
Right.
So, for example, last night I did an exposition of Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Now, my key point was verse 2, carry one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. But I had to put it in context with 6, 1 through 5, and I had to put it in context with chapter 5, and I had to put it in context with the overall message of Galatians book. So it's still exposition, and I, you know, for preachers out there that are struggling with, well, am I a topical preacher or am I just proof texting? There's always a danger of getting an idea and finding a verse and running with
That's right.
Okay, and I'm not a fan of that kind of preaching, but I am a fan of feeding the church from a text and doing an exposition of a text around a theme, like you mentioned.
Right.
That is gonna handle the text appropriately. So, you know, I don't know. I just kind of settled in that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to feel the burden. Like Jerry Vines made a comment one time that he did. He was preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night through three different books of the Bible. And good grief, man! I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, that's hard, and a lot of people may not realize that, but that is difficult to do. And so I just was curious how you come up with ideas. I will find a lot of ideas in my reading.
Yeah,
because I still try to read. I pick up books all the time. I'm reading through three or four books right now. And as I'm reading, a lot of times I'm reading for my own spiritual nourishment and growth.
Right.
But I often will find ideas in those things that I'm reading. Oh, I would love to be able to teach on something like that. So I'll put that in the back of my mind. I'll write that down or something like that, and I'll use that at a later time. So I'm always looking for ideas like that. And I just that's a cool idea.
I do think
the one another is really cool.
I do think as we read and we pray and we think that, and I know this is going to sound mystical to people who aren't actively in preaching ministry, but I do believe that the Spirit brings things to our minds for our people. You know, we don't pastor a church in our brain. We pastor a church among real people. And I think the Spirit is leading you through Ephesians and other things for your people where they are for what they need. And he's doing the same for me, for everybody else.
But that's good. Well, I had heard, let me just say this too. I had heard years ago somebody say that the Gospel of Luke tells us more about the prayer life of Jesus than any other gospel. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing that one time. And I thought, that's pretty intriguing. I need to check that out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did a study. You sort of hear an idea and you think, oh, that's pretty cool. So I went back and I studied all the prayers of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Really cool.
That's
awesome. I preached through a series of messages on the prayers of Jesus just in the Gospel of Luke. So I'm always looking for things like somebody says something, you think, oh, I'll remember that. That'll be something pretty cool to look up. And so then you can take each of those passages and preach an expository message on each of those passages of Scripture.
Right, right.
You know, so it's sort of thematic at the same time, but it's still expositional. So
now, you're tackling on Sunday night, how are you doing what you're doing on Sunday night and what we just talked about?
It's hard.
Because tell us what you're doing and
it's
then
hard.
Kind
Sunday
of
night,
walk us through that.
I'm preaching through Proverbs right now on Sunday night, and Proverbs is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's not the easy. This is the first time I've ever gone through Proverbs this way. Now, I'm not going verse by verse. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can.
Maybe the first few chapters you can.
Yeah, first nine chapters, nine, 10 chapters, you can go basically verse by verse, which I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't cover every verse. I was sort of covering the theme of each chapter. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for the first 9-10 chapters. And then after that, it goes berserk. I mean, really,
it really
start
does.
Looking at it, you got stuff all over the place in the rest of the book of Proverbs. So you'll have one theme mentioned about 6 or 7 different times, and it's all over the place.
Right, right.
And so there are some commentaries out there that have been helpful to try to pull these together for us, mm-hmm. and sort of say, okay, well, you know, there may be 7 or 8 verses in the book of Proverbs on lying. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really important. The writer of Proverbs is really saying we need to be people who tell the truth. We don't need to lie. And he mentions it a number of times. So let's go find all of those. Mm-hmm. And we put these together, and usually many of these different verses will give us some new perspective on mm-hmm. lying, or why we shouldn't lie, or what is a lie, and it'll define it for us, and what's the opposite. You know, so what I've done is sort of taken it almost as a thematic look, because Proverbs is sort of just laid out that way, and you don't really have any other way to do it, at least in my mind. And so that's how I've done it. So I've taken different topics every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So it may be lying, it may be, you know, we talk, because Proverbs has a lot about adultery.
Yeah, it does.
About adultery. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant kind of reminder from a man to his son.
That's right.
I'm teaching my son, stay away from the adulterous woman, over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so it talks about all kinds of things, you know. And so that's how I've tried to do it. Yeah, sort of thematically, and trying the best I can to put them together. Because it's very important to do, but it is hard to do.
Yeah.
Expositionally as one single passage.
Oh,
you sort of have to do it with pulling a bunch of verses together from Proverbs that will help you do that.
Well, I think there's wisdom, and you didn't say it this way, but this is exactly what you're having to deal with in terms of biblical interpretation and preaching, is that we're going to handle the didactic material of Paul differently than the narrative flow of Mark.
That's right.
Differently than the wisdom literature of Solomon.
That's right.
Right? In the Proverbs.
Right.
So a preacher is going to recognize that and not try to do necessarily consecutive exposition. Otherwise, it's going to be a repetitious, and that's part of the way Proverbs are written. I know that. But man, I like that. I like, you know, being able to show this is a consistent theme. Mm. That Solomon's unpacking for his son and for us, you know, and remind, but pull it all together, man. I think that's rich.
And, you know, Proverbs has a lot to say about friendship. Mm-hmm. And so we did one sermon where I took several verses from Proverbs about friendship, and we defined what good friends are, mm-hmm. and how to be a good friend, and how not to be a friend, and how, you know, all this kind of thing. And so he will talk about friendship from different perspective and different verses, and so we pull those together. And you get this one theme of what it looks like to be a genuine friend.
Right.
And And we all need help with that. And that's what Proverbs is about, is wisdom literature. It's just, it's wise saying, how to be a wise Christian. Mm-hmm. And so you put these principles and into your practical daily life, and this is how God is honored in the way you live with, you know, how you make friends and how you tell the truth and how you, you know, all these other kind of things. So mm-hmm. Proverbs has been a lot of fun to go through, and mm-hmm. for me at least, I've never done it that way before. But I've had a couple commentaries that have helped me and pull some things together, and they both do it a little bit differently, so it's given me a couple different perspectives. So it's been really, really rich, real helpful.
That's awesome. Man, so, if I ever bite that off, I'm going to find those commentaries you used, man.
So what about you? So Wednesday night,
yeah. We do a midweek service, and I lead it. So we have student ministry going on Wednesday nights, so our youth are – you know, with our student pastor, we have kids ministry going on.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
And those are growing, you know, fruitful ministries. And then we also have a choir rehearsal going on at the same time.
Okay, we do choir on Sunday nights. We do mm-hmm. choir rehearsal on Sunday nights. So the schedule is just a little bit different for us.
So I get everybody else.
Okay.
Who's left after all the other ministers, volunteers. That's right. Who's not plugged in. So, you know, I'll have anywhere from, you know, 50 to 75 people on a Wednesday night, which is a good crowd for us, you know. Yeah. And so for more than 2 years, Matt, it was probably upward of 2.5 years, I walked Wednesday night midweek service through the 66 books of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So I did an overview, 30,000-foot overview. For the Old Testament, they usually concluded with Christ in Genesis, or Christ in this, that, and the other, pulling everything Christologically, and then the New Testament kind of unpacked it. So I finished in Revelation, and I was a little, I was intrigued, and I left myself a little wanting more from Revelation. Mm. And I was all kind of scared of it, and, you know, because Revelation is a crazy book, man. So I told my folks, let's do this. Let's walk through the seven churches of chapters 2 and 3. And so I've been in the series of the seven churches, and I've taken each letter. Actually, first of all, I did chapter 1, where Jesus kind of lays out a self-description for himself and then his intention to speak to these churches. And so then we've looked at, and so this Wednesday night will be the sixth letter. And boy, it's been rich. And
it has been.
It's interesting, you know, kind of doing a deep, specific dive on those things, man, how Jesus says to each of them, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the, let him listen what Spirit says to the churches. Mm. And so, you know, these letters were uniquely designed for these individual churches, but they cycled through, so all the churches would have been listening to the message. And man, Jesus is serious. Mm. I mean, he loves his church. He's got words of encouragement, words of warning. And so I've tried to put our people in a position to recognize what was going on in that day in those churches, but also say, man, what's Jesus saying to us? And so when I finish up, I told them just the other night that I think I'm going to attempt then, after we're done with the seven individual letters, let's pull it all together. And what did we learn from Jesus?
That's a good idea.
What did he say to the churches? Big picture stuff. So I'm going to summarize that. And then honestly, man, I don't know what's next after that. I don't know what's next. I don't think I want to do millennium stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do, you know, crazy.
Dive off into a little deeper.
No, I think I'm done with Revelation for a minute after this. So I'm kind of praying through what's next on Wednesday nights. And, you know, it's primary team. We do have prayer meeting as well, so we spend time in prayer. And I've considered, you know, jumping back into some thematic stuff on prayer.
Yeah. Yeah,
and because I need that for myself, really, but I think it'd be healthy. Yeah. What about you?
Well, Wednesday nights right now, we're doing a series that I started a couple months ago that I've I titled it "What's Up with All the Weird Stuff in the Old Testament?" And
yeah.
I had a lot of intrigue from that. I guess that created a little bit of that, but I really wanted to take a longer look at some Old Testament theology. Mm-hmm. I didn't spend a lot of time in Old Testament theology in my degree. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my time in Christology and New Testament type theology. But so even through my master's degree, I mean, you have to go, you know, you do systematic theology and all that kind of stuff. But most all my time was spent New Testament theology. Mm-hmm. So I have really for a long time struggled with certain Old Testament theological concepts that I just didn't understand. I didn't quite know how to grasp and handle responsibly and that kind of thing. So for my own self, really, I went back and started looking. I found a great book that has really, really helped me with this. And I may have referenced it on a podcast before, but great book. Dr. Paul Copan wrote a book called Is God a Moral Monster? And really all that is an Old Testament theology book.
It's not apologetics?
No,
or it is
it is apologetics, because really because he, in the introduction of the book, he says that that new atheism today and atheism attacks a belief in Christianity in large part because of Old Testament theology.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes atheists will call God a cosmic child abuser because of he put his own son to death on the cross. He demanded Abraham give a sacrifice and Isaac his son. And so it sounds a lot like cosmic child abuse. Well, you have a lot of weird things in the Old Testament, like food laws, clean and unclean laws, and they could eat certain things, they couldn't eat certain things. What's up with all that? And it looks like if you, on the surface, you know, a misogynistic culture, it looks like genocide, God saying, go and kill all these people. And so, you know, and so atheists will level a lot of their attack at the Christian God against the Old Testament understanding of that God. And so I have wanted to, on my own, be able to defend that answer to that myself apologetically. But as I've gone back to read this book, it's been really, really helpful to give me an overlay of how these things are working in the Old Testament to get us to the New Testament. And so I've been teaching through a lot of this on, now it, sound, it may sound technical with me sitting here talking about it now, but I try not to make it technical on Wednesday nights. Some of it is. But it's been really, really helpful to go back and start looking at some of these things. Now, this doesn't lend itself again to really expositional preaching.
Sure.
Wednesday nights, I'm a little bit more laid back. I'm teaching more on Wednesday night on different subject matters, different topics, those kind of things. So I've taken this book to sort of use as a diving board to jump off. So he's really outlined some things really good, and so I've used a lot of his stuff and a lot of his outline to help me teach it. So it's been really, really, really fruitful. So this, so what we'll do, matter of fact, we talked about doing this on podcast. I have had a lot of people ask me to record my messages on Wednesday night, because everybody, a lot of people have been intrigued by that. Well, we don't record on Wednesday nights. We record Sunday morning, Sunday nights at our church, but we don't record Wednesday nights. So I've not been recording them. So what we may try to do is take some of the stuff that I've been doing on Wednesday nights and incorporate it into our podcast, and we'll do a series on some Old Testament theology things, which I think will be good. And so we'll try to answer to some of those questions. What's the deal with clean and unclean foods? And that's what we talked about over the last couple of Wednesday nights. People want to know, what's kosher mean? What does kosher mean? What's kosher? What's not kosher? And why do we have kosher dill pickles and kosher salt and all this kind of stuff? What does all it mean? So we've answered some of those questions on Wednesday night. It's been a lot of fun. So
you know what I found is, you know, when we take the opportunity to slow down and jump into the text and tackle some of these things, how so many lifelong believers, church members, will make comments like, man, I didn't realize that that's this, that, or the other. I didn't realize that was a connection to the New Testament. I didn't realize. And it's really an exercise for us in remembering. I mean, the Bible's a big book. I mean, Bible's got a lot of stuff in it, and if we're not careful, we can really hyper-focus in the New Testament and spend all time. So I think it's rich, man, that you're tackling some of that stuff, because otherwise I think, like Revelation, for example, people will avoid certain things in the Bible because, man, it's just crazy. I can't understand that.
I don't know what to do with it.
Well, it doesn't make no sense.
That's
you know?
And so, that's one of the things one of the reasons I want to get into this, because I know a lot of my folks are scared of the Old Testament or are scared of certain books in the Old Testament. They're not scared of books like Joshua. That's pretty cool. You know, the stories of Joshua and the walls and all that kind of stuff. Well, we could read that one. But when we go back to Leviticus, most people go, you know, I'm out. I don't know what to do with all that stuff. It's too weird. And so they do a lot of stuff that we don't do now, and I don't even know how that applies to me anyway, even if I did understand it. And so a lot of people would say, I don't know what's going on there, so I'm just scared to read it. And so if they do any kind of chronological or any kind of Bible reading through the year, dude, you get to Leviticus, you shut her down. I mean, people go, I'm skipping that one, or I'm going to quit. So So a lot of my time has been spent in this series in the book of Leviticus because of the laws and what the laws will say and why they're weird and, you know, what to do with it. So it's been really helpful for me. I've come to understand a lot more than I ever did, and I'm trying to communicate those things. And I have found this out as a pastor, and it never fails. I have a lot of people go, I never knew that was in there. Yeah. I've never read that before, never heard that before. But as a pastor, I have found it over and over again. People love to sit and hear the Bible taught. Mm-hmm. They want it. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for it. They're hungry for a good teaching of the Bible, and especially with things like that they've never known before, never understood, never been comfortable reading on their own. They want somebody to teach them what that means.
That's right.
And they love it. People respond to it. I do too. That's what I want. I want somebody to teach me that way.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I want to be that kind of teacher for my folks too.
I think that's great, man. I think that's great. And that, you know, we love the Bible. It's clear we want to teach the Bible. We want our folks, you know, because it is the final authority in our lives. It's God's revelation to us for who he is, what he's about, and what our future is, and so much more, man. And, you know, we spend a lifetime teaching, and I think, man, can we cover it all? You know, and I don't know. Hopefully, we'll
try.
To them, but
I'm gonna try.
Thankful for churches who give us the privilege.
Yeah,
you know, to feed the word.
They're gracious and patient with us. As we spend 2 months in the first chapter of Mark. Right,
son. It's gonna be more than that. It's gonna be about 3 months.
We pray people would be patient with us.
Yeah, by the time we get to December, it'd be like, all right, it's Christmas. He's gonna start talking about Christmassy stuff. Yeah, that's coming.
Take a break.
That's right. That's right. Well, man, I've enjoyed hearing what the Lord's doing in you and through you at Gaston, and man, I know it's been rich for your people, and hopefully the same for First Baptist. But let's how about we end with saying maybe something a little personal.
Yeah,
like we do a few segments at the end to kind of close down the podcast, as some of you remember. One of those is One More Thing.
Yeah.
And One More Thing is usually a personal thing from our lives. So, Matt, what's one more thing?
For me. Right now, my youngest son, he's 10 years old. His name is Timothy. He's playing football. All right. This is his second year to play football, Park League football. So he's playing 12 and under. He's 10 years old. He's 10, 11, 12 years old. So I am coaching him. I'm the head coach of the football team, and I am a sorry coach. I'm really bad at it. I love to do it. I love the kids. I love being out there. I love what we're trying to do and all this kind of stuff. But I have found out this season, a little bit more than last season, that when other teams are twice your size, oh my gosh, it is incredibly hard to do. And I got parents, man. Parents are wanting to win the game. Boy, they want to win. They want to give their kids a chance to win. So do I.
Right.
I'm the coach. But golly, when our kids are getting run over and half of them I got to crying, they don't want to play anymore, you know, and I'm having to deal with that. And so I tell you, this has been a really interesting season already. We're we're almost halfway through the season. We only play about 6 or 7 games, and so we play another game tonight, another game tomorrow night. So I don't know. Timothy's a baller. He's an athlete, but he's small. And so,
what position does he play?
You know, right now, he's playing quarterback.
Quarterback. Yep.
But he's not tall enough to see over the line.
Mm.
And I got other kids that might want to play quarterback, but I had one playing quarterback last week, and he got hurt, or said he got hurt, and he was crying and got tackled is what happened, and he didn't want to play that position anymore. And I got several guys saying, I don't want to carry the ball, I just want to tackle. I don't want to, 'cause they don't want to be the one to get tackled.
Yeah.
They want to just tackle somebody. Man, it's hard to do. It really is hard.
So you drawing up plays and all?
Oh yeah, man. Drawing up plays, offense, defense, everything, running it all. And got a couple guys that are helping, a couple of dads that are out there on the sidelines with me, at least trying to help. And but, man, I have found out. Now, I love coaching baseball. I've coached soccer. I've done it all. Mm-hmm. But I found out that football is by far the hardest to coach.
Wow.
So
okay.
Pray for me, man.
Yeah, I will, man. That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, one more thing.
Well, yesterday, October the 21st, 25 years ago is when I got saved.
Really?
So 25 years ago yesterday, October
21st. Celebrate with you, man. That's
1993.
Awesome.
It was at I was a freshman at Blue Mountain College. It was There was a campus revival going on at Lowry Memorial Baptist Church, and man, a friend of mine got saved, and it kind of stirred me up for a couple days, and so I went to that revival and got saved. It was a Thursday night, man.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah, Glenn Putman was the preacher. His son is a professor of theology at New Orleans Seminary now.
Really?
And we've made a great connection. But man, 25 years, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
And I told my folks yesterday, you know, sometimes it feels like, even as a pastor, you know, you take one step forward and two steps back. Mm. And, you know, it's like 25 years, what have I learned? How have I grown? And, you know, I think even yesterday, even today, you know, you think about how much we need forgiveness, how much we need the grace of God and pursuit of holiness and, you know, discipline in the word and in prayer. Nothing has really changed from week one 25 years ago.
I was praying about that this morning, you know? On the way over here, as a matter of fact, the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes I could kick myself. You know, there are days I feel like, man, I'm really rocking. Yeah. Spiritually, man, I'm on the right track, and then the next day you look and there's 10 other things that you let slide because you got this one thing right, and you just think, good night, I'm never gonna get this right. That's sort of been my walk, you know, but it's a consistent, hopefully a constant pursuit of holiness. But I read a verse yesterday, or I memorized a verse, Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13, where it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure."
Right, right.
And really God encouraged me through those verses the last couple of weeks. I've memorized them because God is – that word work is used three times in those two verses, in a verse and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people misunderstand that one, but it's the passage says this overall. God works salvation into you. Now you – work it out of you, and as you do that, God will give you the will to work. Mm-hmm. He will give you the will to do what he's called you to do, and he will give you the ability to do what he's called you to do according to his good pleasure.
Yeah.
So it's a constant reminder, Lord, he's going to give me the strength to do what and to walk with him.
It's encouraging. You know, my sons and I this morning were reading in Colossians 1, and you know, verse 23 says, it talks about how, well, verse 22 says how we've been reconciled through the death of Jesus to be holy. Mm. And then verse 23 says, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Mm. And I can honestly say, Matt, 25 years later, man, I've not shifted away from the hope of the gospel.
Mm. That's good.
And I'm really trying to put myself, my wife and my family, and really, you know, whatever ministry the Lord has given to me, to stay grounded and steadfast as we look for the return of Christ, as we look for, you know, his kingdom. And, man, you know, that's his grace. Like you're saying, just what you just said is God's work in me.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm working for him, but at the same time, it's encouraging to me to think that I can sit here and say, you know, I have not shifted from the hope of the gospel, and to God be the glory for that.
That's good. Man, that's encouraging. I'm proud for you, brother. I really am, and that's an encouraging thing, and I hope that encourages those that are listening to the podcast, too, because a lot of people have this idea that, you know, preachers are perfect. They get that perfect card, but, you know, really it's a struggle for us like it is anybody else. It really is. But I think that's the key, though, is look, if we're struggling in our walk, keep pursuing.
Yeah.
Keep pursuing Christ. Keep pursuing holiness. Yeah. Keep walking after him. We're going to have those days. God, I've had enough of them. Mm. With those days where we struggle in our walk, but it's the constant pursuit, and God is going to give us what we need. Just don't, like you said, don't shift from the hope of the gospel.
Right.
Keep your eyes focused on him. Man, that's an encouraging word, and I hope others that are listening to us will feel the same way and hopefully gain some encouragement from that too, brother. So that's good. 25 years.
25 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let me close the podcast. We're so thankful for our faithful listeners of Gospel Rain. Thanks for hanging in with us and being patient over the last couple of months. We've had a lot of things going on, been really busy, but hopefully we're back at it, and we appreciate your prayers. But here's one of the things that we want to ask you to do. We're always looking for things that we can talk about on Gospel Rain and questions that we can answer theologically, biblically, something about the Christian life, whatever. So if you've got a question that you want us to ask and answer on the Gospel Rain podcast, you can shoot those questions to us on social media. You can put it out there on Facebook or Twitter, and we will be, or go to the website, gospelrain.com, and you can put a question there. And we'd love to have that from you so that we can have some other things that can answer that you might be a little bit more interested in. So anyway, we'll be back at it next time on the Gospel Rain podcast, and we will see you then.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.